I get what she's saying, but that's a little complicated when you're adopted. Just because I don't feel adopted doesn't mean that I'm not adopted. Most people think they know something important about you if they know where your story began, though. Vito says it doesn't really matter where you come from. I know exactly where I come from. So what? See, some people have famous parents. So what? Being born to talented people doesn't make you talented. Charlie Moreno's father is the mayor, but look at Charlie Moreno. He's an asshole. Everybody in my family's an addict. But see, it's not where I come from that matters. It's where I'm going. I couldn't argue with that one. I thought that wanting to know where it all began is part of human nature. Yep. Not that I know much about human nature. Sam said I wasn't good at judging other people. You think everybody wants to be good? I have pictures of my mother holding me. Lots and lots of pictures. But looking at photographs of your dead mother isn't the same as remembering. She died when I was 3. That's when I came to live with my dad. Maybe another guy would be sad that he didn't have a mother. But I didn't feel sad, not really. I loved my dad. And I had uncles and aunts who loved me. I mean, they really loved me. And I had Mima. I don't think anybody loved me as much as Mima loved me. Not even my dad. It's not as if my life was like Fito's. Fito had the most screwed up family on planet Earth. And look at Sam. I really wouldn't have wanted Mrs. Diaz to be my mother. No thanks. No bueno. I had this sociology teacher who was always droning on and on about family dynamics. You know, me and my dad and Maggie constituted a family. I liked our family. But maybe there isn't a logic behind the word family. The truth is, it isn't always such a good word. I wondered why I didn't have any memories of my mother. Maybe not remembering was worse than misremembering. Or maybe it was better. But here I was, asking myself questions about her, and about the guy whose genes mixed with hers to make me. I was starting to ask myself a lot of questions that I never used to ask. I used to be okay with everything, and now I was going around hitting people. I heard Sam's voice in my head. Nothing just happens. Photographs. I had a picture of my dad teaching me how to tie a tie, taken the morning before my first communion. Dad was smiling, and I was smiling. We were both so happy. And I had a picture of Mima holding me in her arms when I was 4. She had all this love in her eyes, and I swear I could drown in that love. The pictures of my mom and me are different. See, the pictures with Mima and Dad, well, I remembered those things. Those pictures made me feel something. But the pictures with my mom? I didn't feel anything. Sam told me that I didn't remember because I didn't want to. She said it would make me feel sad. Sam liked to look at my photos, but she said it was too weird to see all the happiness in them. It's just not real.
Really?
Well, it is real, but it's kind of creepy.
Happiness is creepy?
Okay, it's nice, but most people don't do nice. I mean, no one in the entire universe is as nice as your Mima. And your dad, I have to admit, he's the bomb. True that. He's actually a super great guy. But there's only about 10 of those kind of guys walking around this town. So if you're thinking that your sweet little family is a mirror for the rest of the world, I've got a newsflash for you. If the word cynical hadn't been invented, Sam would have invented it. And she would go around introducing everybody to that word. But she didn't fool me. There was a lot of kindness in her. A lot. But she had her bad moments. I'd known her since kindergarten. She used to cry at the end of the day when I said goodbye. Ever since then, I'd always listened to what Sam thought, even when I should have known better. Sam was emotionally confused and confusing. It had to do with her family dynamics. Yeah, what the hell did I know? She was really mad at me once. I told her she needed to calm down, and she told me I was an emotional anorexic. I don't think she meant it as a compliment. Sometimes I wondered why I'd picked her to be my best friend. Mima said that God gave Sam to me. It was a beautiful thing to say. And she also said that God gave me to her. And to my dad. I guess God did a lot of giving. But he did a lot of taking, too. Exhibit A. He took my mom. But if he hadn't taken my mom, I wouldn't have Dad. And I wouldn't have Mima. Dad. WFTD equals college. The first chaotic week of school was over. And only two fistfights. Let's make this the greatest year ever. I was sitting in my dad's studio, half watching him paint and half looking over the final list of colleges I was applying to. All summer long, it was all about getting my college apps together. Financial forms, forms for this and forms for that, looking at websites and sending emails to admissions counselors and programs and degree plans and on and on and on. Sam was way into it. One day she'd come over and really ripped into her mother. She's put a hold on my application process, that witch. She said the schools I applied to were way out of my league, and where the hell did I think I was going to get the money to pay for it all? And who the hell did I think I was, anyway? I hate her. I really hate her. She told me I was going to UT, and that was final. I hate her. Not the first time I'd heard that hate her thing. At my house, I was trying to keep the whole process as low-key as possible. I didn't want to move away. I was thinking I could just take a year off and hang out at home. Like that was going to happen. So I'd finally come up with my list. And the only thing I had left to do was get my letters of recommendation and write some damn stupid essay on why they should accept me. I had time. I put the list on my father's desk. 1. University of Texas. 2. UCLA. 3. Columbia. 4. University of Chicago. 5. NYU. 6. University of New Mexico. 7. University of Arizona. 8. University of Colorado. 9. University of Washington. 10. University of Montana. The future. All on one list. Change. Shit. I watched my dad lost in his work. I liked watching him paint. The way he held the brush. The way his whole body seemed alive. The way he made painting look so easy. I wondered what that felt like. The final list is on your desk, I said.
About time, he said.
You can stop badgering me now.
I don't badger, he said.
I knew he was smiling. He knew I was smiling, too. He just kept working. And then he asked me something he'd never asked before.
Do you ever wonder about your real father, Salvi?
He didn't stop painting, and I couldn't see his face. As I sat down on his old leather chair, I heard myself say, "You're my real father, and yes,
I wonder about you all the time. The light in the room made his messy salt and pepper hair look like it was on fire. He stopped painting for just a moment, and I wondered about the look he was wearing right then. I knew that what I'd just said made him happy. Then he just continued painting in silence. I let him be. Sometimes you have to let people have their own space, even when you are in the same room with them. He taught me that, my dad. He taught me almost everything I know. I didn't remember a time when my dad wasn't around, and there was a reason for that. He had always been around. He was there when I was born. He was with my mom in the hospital. He was her coach. He witnessed me coming into the world. That's the word he uses. He says, I was there to witness the whole beautiful thing. So he was there from the very beginning. This is the thing. The truth is, I did sometimes wonder about my real father. Especially lately, for some reason. And I felt like a traitor. I'd lied to Dad just then. Suppose it was half a lie. Call it a half-truth. If something was half a lie, it was just a lie. Period. Mima and Sam. Mima really liked Sam, and Sam really liked Mima. When we were little, sometimes Mima would spend the weekend and take care of us when Dad was away at one of his out-of-town art shows. She was great with Sam. I had always liked to watch the two of them together. I was on the phone with Mima. It made her feel good when I called. It made me feel good, too. What did we talk about? Anything. Didn't matter. She asked me about Sam. She likes shoes, I said. She's a girl, Mima said. Some girls are like that, but she's a good girl. Yeah, I said. But she likes bad boys, Mima. Well, your popo was a bad boy when he was young. And you still married him? Yes, he was beautiful. I knew he was a good man, even though a lot of other people didn't think so. I knew what I saw in him. He settled down. My memories of my grandfather didn't include the phrase settled down. I just worry about Sam sometimes, I said. If you're so worried, why aren't you her boyfriend? It's not like that, Mima. She's my best friend. Isn't your best friend supposed to be a boy? Well, Mima, I said. I don't think it really matters if your best friend is a boy or a girl, as long as you have a best friend. And anyway, girls are nicer than boys. Somehow, I could tell Mima was smiling. The letter. Saturday. I was all about Saturdays. My dad walked into the kitchen and poured himself a cup of coffee. He didn't look at the newspaper, which was weird. My dad was a creature of habit. He had his daily rituals, coffee and the morning newspaper. He didn't read newspapers online. He was old school. He wore Chuck Taylors, black high tops. He wore 501s and khakis, pleated with cuffs. And he wore thin ties, always. Old school all the way. On Sundays, he read the New York Times. That was definitely one of his things. But on this day, Dad didn't even look at the paper. He was petting Maggie, but he didn't seem to be in the room. He had a very serious look on his face. Serious, not in a bad way. Finally, Dad nodded. I knew he'd been having a conversation with himself, and he'd settled some kind of debate. He got up from the table, leaving his coffee behind. Maggie followed him. A few minutes later, Maggie and Dad appeared back in the room. He was holding an envelope in his hand.
"Here," he said. "I think it's time I gave you this."
I took the envelope. My name was written on the front in neat and deliberate handwriting. It wasn't Dad's handwriting. Dad scrawled. I stared at my name. "What's this?"
"It's a letter from your mother."
"A letter from my mother?"
"She wrote it to you just before she died. She said she wanted me to give it to you when I felt it was the right time."
He had that, "I think I'll have a cigarette" look on his face. He smoked sometimes. Not very much. He kept his cigarettes in the freezer so they wouldn't go stale.
"I think this is the right time," he said.
I kept staring at my mother's handwriting. I didn't say anything. My dad took his cigarettes out of the freezer, removed one, and fished his lighter out of the drawer where he kept it.
"Let's have a cig," he said.
Not that he'd ever let me smoke. It was just an invitation for me to sit on the back steps with him. Maggie followed us outside. Maggie was like me. She didn't like feeling left out. I watched Dad light his cigarette.
"You can read it when you're ready," he said. "It's up to you now, Salvi."
He leaned toward me and nudged me with his shoulder as we sat there.
"This is freaking me out," I said.
"I mean, a letter from your dead mother would freak anyone out."
"Well, your mother," he stopped. "She didn't write it to freak you out, son."
"I know," I said.
"You don't have to read it right away."
"So if I don't have to read it right away, why give it to me now?"
"Should I have waited till you were in college? Till you were 30? When is the right time for anything? Who knows? Living is an art, not a science.
Besides, I promised your mother I'd give it to you." "You made a lot of promises to her, didn't you?"
"Yes, I did, Salvi."
"And you've kept your promises, haven't you?"
"Every damn one of them."
He took a drag from his cigarette and blew the smoke out through his nose. "Were they hard to keep? All those promises?"
"Some of them."
"You want to tell me about them?"
"Someday."
That wasn't exactly the answer I was looking for. I looked at my dad. He was grinning.
"Well, there is one promise that was easy to keep."
"Which one was that?"
"I promised her I'd love you. I promised her I'd keep you safe. That was the easy one."
"Sometimes I'm a lot of trouble."
"No," he said. "You were never trouble. Not ever."
"Well, I did almost break Enrique Infante's nose. And there was that rock I threw and broke Mrs. Castro's window. And then there was that phase when I loved killing lizards." I wasn't going to tell him that I broke Mrs. Castro's window on purpose. She was mean. Dad laughed.
"Yeah, the killing lizards thing. You were just a boy."
"But I liked killing them. Remember when you caught me and we had a little funeral for the poor dead lizard?"
"Yeah?"
"Your way of telling me to knock it off?" Dad laughed again.
"You're not perfect, Salvi. But there's so much decency in you that sometimes I wonder where you came from. Take your friend Sam. Now she's trouble."
He laughed. Not a loud laugh. It was a joke. He loved Sam.
"Look," he continued. "Like I said, living is an art, not a science. Take your Mima, for example. She's the real artist in the family.
He looked up at the sky. If living is an art, your Mima is Picasso.
I loved the look on his face when he said that. I wondered if Mima knew how much he loved her. I didn't know anything about the love between mothers and sons, and I never would. My father put his cigarette out.
Here's the thing about the letter. I had to decide when to give it to you. Maybe it's not the right time. Only you can decide that. Read it when you're ready.
What if I'm never ready? He gave me a look, leaned into me, and nudged me again with his shoulder. We sat there for a long time, the September breeze and the morning sun on our faces. I wanted to stay there forever. Just me and Dad and Maggie. A father and a son and a dog. I was thinking that I didn't really want to grow up. But I didn't really have a choice. My dad had a quote taped to a wall along with some sketches. I want to live in the calmness of the morning light. I liked that a lot. But I was beginning to understand that time wasn't going to stand still for me. I had photographs to prove that things changed. I'd been 7 once, and I wasn't always going to be 17. I had no idea what my life was going to be like. I didn't want to think about the letter. Maybe there was something in it that would change things in ways I didn't want them to change. I don't know why she left me a letter. My mom was dead. I didn't even remember loving her. And the letter wasn't going to bring her back to life.
WFTD equals fear.
I started to put the letter in my bottom drawer where I kept my socks. But I figured that wasn't a good place to store it, because I wore socks every day, and every time I opened the drawer, I'd think of the letter. So I paced my room, trying to think of the perfect place to keep it. Maggie was lying on my bed watching me. Sometimes I got the feeling that Maggie thought I was nuts. Finally, I put the letter in the box where I kept all my pictures. I didn't take that box out very often. That was the perfect place. I texted Sam. WFTD equals fear. Sam.
Fear?
Me.
Yeah.
Sam. Explain.
Me.
It's a scary word. LOL.
Sam.
Funny boy.
You afraid?
Me.
I didn't say that.
Sam.
Spill it.
Me.
You ever been afraid of something?
Sam.
Course.
You?
Me.
Yeah.
Sam.
Talk to me.
Me.
I was just thinking, that's all.
Sam.
I'll get it out of you.
Sam.
Text from Sam. What up?
I texted back.
Took a quick rinse. No plans, you?
Sam.
Wanna hang out?
Me.
Yep.
Sam.
You got eggs?
Me.
Yep.
Sam.
Bacon?
Me.
Yep.
Sam.
Smiley face, exclamation point. WFTD equals breakfast.
Me.
See you in 5.
Sam. That girl. She was always hungry. Her mother never kept any food in the house. It wasn't as if they were poor. They weren't rich, but they weren't exactly using a Lone Star card to get their groceries.
Sam's mom was more into fast food and takeout.
Dad and I almost never did takeout. We did the takeout pizza thing sometimes. Tara Thai. Otherwise, we cooked. I liked it. Dad was talking on the phone as I walked past him toward the front door. "Who are you talking to?" I asked. For some reason, I always wanted to know who he was on the phone with. Not that it was any of my business. But I had a bad habit of asking him. "Mima," he whispered. Then shook his head and kept talking. I think I annoyed my father sometimes. It worked both ways. Sometimes he annoyed me. Like him not buying me a car, even though we had enough money. That really annoyed me. And it didn't matter how many times I brought the subject up, he'd shoot it down like it was a duck in hunting season. "But we can afford it," I'd say. And then he'd say, "No, I can afford it. You, on the other hand, can't even afford to pay for your cell phone." He'd give me his snarky smile, and I'd give it right back to him. Maggie and I sat on the front porch and waited for Sam. She lived a few blocks away, but we never hung out at her place. Not ever. "Sylvia likes to listen in on conversations that are none of her business," Sam said. She always claimed she liked hanging out with Maggie. "Sylvia won't let me have a dog." And even though Sam and Maggie had their own love affair going on, I knew Maggie had nothing to do with her wanting to come over. My theory was that Sam and her mother were too much alike. I told her that once.
"You're full of shit."
That's all she had to say on the subject. One thing about Sam, she could be direct as hell. And like everybody else in the known universe, she didn't always let herself in on the truth. I saw her walking up the street. I waved.
"Hi, Sally,"
she yelled.
"Hey, Sammy," I yelled back.
Maggie ran out to greet her. Sam was wearing a yellow blouse with printed daisies all over it. She looked like a summer garden. I mean that in a good way. She bent down and let Maggie lick her face. It made me smile watching Sam and Maggie loving on each other. I bounced down the steps, and she gave me a hug.
"I'm starving, Sally."
"Let's eat," I said.
I knew I was going to be making the breakfast. Sam was like her mother. The only part of the kitchen she was familiar with was the kitchen table. We walked into the kitchen. Maggie scratched at the door, and I let her out. I noticed my father sitting on the back steps, smoking another cigarette. That was strange. Dad rarely had a two-cigarette morning. I got that same feeling I had on the first day of school. Like something was shifting in my world.
"What's wrong?"
Sam asked.
"Nothing," I said, grabbing a pan and taking some bacon out of the fridge.
Sam poured herself a cup of coffee. Sam. She was a walking advertisement for Starbucks.
"Your house is always so clean," Sam said. "It's so frickin' weird."
"There's nothing weird about wanting to live in a clean house."
"Well, our house is pretty much a pigsty."
"True that.
I wonder why," I said.
"Funny, funny.
The thing is, you guys live like girls, and we girls live like guys."
"Cleanliness? I don't think that's a gender thing," I said.
"Maybe not. You know, I think maybe I should move in with you guys."
That really made me smile.
"I don't think you'd like my dad's rules."
"Your dad's super cool."
"Yeah, but he has rules."
"They're mostly unwritten. Keeping the house clean is one of them."
"Somehow I can't picture you cleaning a toilet."
"I can't either,"
Sylvia hires a maid to clean the house once a week.
I hope she pays her a lot of money.
Don't be snarky.
She glanced at her cell phone, then looked at me. Unwritten rules, huh? Sylvia doesn't have any of those. She's not that subtle. She writes down all her rules in lipstick on my bathroom mirror.
Serious?
Serious.
In this house, most of the rules are unwritten. No drugs, no drinking. Well, I can have a glass of wine with him on special occasions.
On second thought, if I lived here, you guys would bore the crap out of me.
Yeah. To begin with, we don't have lipstick.
And we don't have collections of shoes.
She shot me a look. And we don't like to argue.
You, on the other hand,
don't finish that.
Dad and I would bore the crap out of you.
What would you do in a house where people didn't argue?
Shut up.
I tried to picture her living with us. I shot her a look. She practically did live with us. I didn't think it was a good idea to verbalize what I was thinking. Verbalize was a Sam word.
Oh, and by the way, Mr. I follow all the rules, I've seen you down a few beers at parties.
I don't go to that many parties. And have you ever seen me drunk?
I'd love to see you drunk. Then I could tell you what to do.
You already tell me what to do.
Snark, snark, snark.
We both laughed.
I just don't get it, Sally. Your father's an artist. How the hell did he wind up being such a straight edger? I bet he's never even done drugs.
I wouldn't know.
Have you ever done drugs?
Why do you always ask me questions you already know the answers to?
Why don't you just let loose, Sally? Let yourself go. Live! The now!
Yeah, the now. Look, you let loose enough for both of us. She gave me another one of her looks. We both knew she was no stranger to experimenting with mood-altering substances. She especially liked 420.
Not me.
I tried it once at a party and wound up kissing a girl I didn't even like. I took kissing very seriously. When I kissed a girl, not that it happened very often, I wanted it to mean something. I just wasn't that casual about things.
Get me the eggs from the fridge. She opened the refrigerator.
Crap! Look at all that food!
I shook my head. Most people's refrigerators have food in them. I hope you know that.
God, you are snarky today, white boy.
She knew I hated being called white boy.
Even though I was technically a white boy. I was raised in a Mexican family, so I didn't qualify as your average white boy. Not in my world. I knew Spanish better than Sam, and she was supposed to be Mexican.
She handed me the carton of eggs. She knew I was ignoring her comment.
Chill, she said.
She opened the refrigerator door again.
Nope, this does not look like my refrigerator at all. I don't even know why we have one. Maybe I should sell it on eBay.
And what would Sylvia say about that?
She probably wouldn't even notice it was missing.
She watched as I cracked two eggs and fried them in bacon grease.
Who taught you how to do that?
My Mima. I wanted to add, you know, my Mexican grandmother, just to underline my point that I was not your ordinary milquetoast white boy.
Wish I had a Mima, she said.
My mother says she doesn't want anything to do with her family.
You know what I think? I think it's the other way around.
She scarfed down a piece of bacon.
I love bacon. Did you go out last night?
I went to a movie.
Who with?
Fito.
Why do you hang out with him? He's a dork. He always has this face stuck in a book and he cusses way too much.
Are you telling me that you, Samantha Diaz, find cussing offensive?
Really? You're mocking me.
Yep. And you know I'm a dork, too.
Yeah, but you're an interesting dork. Fito is definitely not interesting.
Wrong. He's interesting as hell. I like the guy. He actually knows how to think, and he knows how to hold his own in an intelligent conversation. Which is more than I can say for most of the guys you hang with.
Not that you'd know.
I rolled my eyes. I may have been a dork, but I wasn't an idiot.
Like, how many of my boyfriends have you ever gotten to know?
You never give me a chance. They're here one day and gone the next.
And I do know the guy you're going out with now. Let's just say he's not college material. And he's nice.
Nice. That guy wouldn't go near that word with a 10-foot pole. He spends all his money on body art.
I like his tats.
What's with you and all these bad boys?
They're handsome.
In a raised-by-wolves kind of way. I mean, you go for a certain kind of aesthetic.
Aesthetic
was a Sal word.
And then I grinned at her.
Besides, I'm handsome, and you don't go out with me.
She grinned back at me.
Yeah, you are handsome. Not very modest, but handsome.
But you don't have tattoos, and well, you're not boyfriend material. What you are is best friend material.
That made me happy. I liked your friendship just the way it was. It worked for me. It worked for both of us. But the guys she went out with? Bad news. Every single one of them. No bueno.
Look, Sammy, I said.
These guys always wind up hurting you. And you wind up crying and sad and depressed and sullen and all those things, and I wind up having to talk you down from the tree.
Well, since you don't have a life, you have to get your drama from somewhere.
I rolled my eyes again. I don't do drama.
Yes, you do, Sally. If you didn't do drama, you wouldn't be my best friend.
True that.
I loved Sammy. I really loved her. And I wanted to tell her about the guy I'd punched because he'd called me a pinche gringo. I wanted to tell her that there was an anger in me that I just didn't understand. I'd always been this sort of patient guy. And now I'd started thinking I was surrounded by idiots. The guy next to me in English class passed me a note asking for Sam's number. I passed a note back. I'm not her pimp, and I ought to kick your ass. So much for being laid back and calm. But Sam, she had this image of me that I was a good boy, and she was in love with that image. She was in love with simple, uncomplicated, level-headed Sally. And I didn't know how to tell her that I wasn't all those beautiful things she thought I was. That things were changing. And I could feel it, but couldn't put it into words. I felt like a fraud. But what if I found the words? What then? What would I do if she didn't love me anymore?
WFTD equals maybe. Dad and I sat at the kitchen table. He was making spaghetti and meatballs for dinner. I watched him form the meatballs. His hands were big and rough. I guess it's because he was always making frames, stretching them, painting. Painting and painting and painting. I liked his hands. We were listening to the Rolling Stones. I liked his music, but it was his music, not mine.
Dad, I said, why don't we listen to something else?
Something wrong with my music?
Move forward, I said.
Not sure I want to.
I smiled. He smiled.
Every generation thinks they're the coolest canoe that's ever come down the river.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Every generation thinks they're the ones who are going to reinvent the world.
Newsflash. The world has been around for millions of years.
But it keeps changing. Besides, what's wrong with thinking you could improve the world? Just a little.
Nothing wrong with that. When I was in college, high-tech meant having an electric typewriter.
I laughed.
I never imagined how fast things would change.
Like, for instance...
Cell phones, computers, social networking, attitudes.
Attitudes?
The gay thing, for instance.
Dad hardly ever talked about the gay thing. Only when he had to.
You know, when I was growing up, it was so hard. Really hard. And now it's better. A lot of young people don't think being gay is a big deal.
True that, I said. I mean, we have gay marriage and everything. And then I looked right at him and said, Dad, are you ever going to get married? He just shrugged. Of course, you'd have to have a boyfriend. He threw a meatball at me, and it bounced with a thud on the table. Do I feel a lecture coming on? I saw this quiet and sad look wash over his face.
But you know we're always going to have to rely on the goodwill of those of you who are straight for our survival. And that's the damn truth.
I saw how he hated that. I saw it isn't fair written in his eyes. It isn't fair. I wanted to tell him that all the awful things that happened in the old world were dead. And the new world, the world we lived in now, the world we were creating, that world would be better. But I didn't say it because I wasn't sure it was true. I didn't really like change, but I just lectured my dad about change. Maybe change could be good, like the gay marriage thing and equality and all that. But I wasn't sure I liked all the changes. I mean, the changes in me. Maybe I was afraid of who I was becoming. Mima said we become who we want to be. But that meant we were in control. I liked control. But maybe control was just an illusion. And maybe I'd always had the wrong idea as to who I really was. I decided to text Sam and tell her that the word for the day was maybe.
Unwritten rules.
Did you tell Sam about the letter from your mother?
Nope.
I thought you told her everything.
Nobody tells anybody everything. My father nodded.
I'll keep that in mind.
You don't tell me everything.
Of course I don't. I tell you what I think is important. And your letter, I'd say that was pretty important.
Yeah, I guess so. But Sam would just push me to read it. I don't want her to make my decision for me. She'd probably say something like, well then, let me read it. And then we'd get into it, and she wouldn't stop until I'd read it. Sam's pushy, and she has a way of getting me to do things I don't want to do.
Like what?
Never mind, Dad.
No, no. Now you've stepped into it. You have to give me an example.
That was one of the unwritten rules. You couldn't bring up a subject without finishing it. Not that we always followed our own rules.
Okay, I said.
Sam taught me how to kiss.
What?
You can't get upset.
I'm not upset.
That what? Sounded like you were upset.
That what? Sounded like I was surprised.
I thought you and Sam were just friends.
We are. Best friends. Look, Dad, we were in seventh grade and...
Seventh grade?
Do you want to hear this story or not?
I'm not sure I do.
Too late. He shook his head, but he was grinning.
I'm listening.
I really liked this girl. Her name was Erica, and sometimes we held hands, and I wanted to kiss her. And I told Sam, and she said she'd teach me. And I told her I didn't think that was a good idea, but she talked me into it. More like badgered. And well, in the end, it wasn't any big deal.
So, she taught you how to kiss?
I laughed. She was a good teacher. Dad laughed, too. He looked at me again and shook his head, not upset.
You and Sam.
And then he smiled.
Did you ever get to kiss her, this Erica girl?
I smiled. I don't kiss and tell, Dad. My father just laughed. I mean, he really laughed.
You would do anything for Sam, wouldn't you?
Just about. He nodded.
I admire your loyalty. But I worry sometimes.
You don't have to worry, Dad. I'm cursed with being a straight edger.
Straight edger?
I think you know what I mean. I wanted to tell him how confused I was. I was in the middle of something, and I couldn't quite get at what that something was. I started to get mad at myself. Maybe I didn't do drugs or stuff like that, but I sure as hell was learning how to keep secrets.
Yeah, Salvi. I think I do know.
He took out his cigarettes from the freezer.
Want to have a cig?
That's your third cigarette today, Dad. He nodded as he opened the back door. He sat on the back steps and lit his cigarette. I sat next to him. What's up, Dad?
You're Mima, he said.
What about her?
Her cancer's back.
I thought it was all gone.
Cancer's tricky business.
But she's been cancer-free since I was...
12.
He took a deep drag on his cigarette.
It's metastasized.
What does that mean?
It means that there are still some cancer cells in her body, and they shifted to another site.
Where?
Her bones.
Is that bad?
Very bad.
Is she going to be all right? He took my hand and squeezed it.
I don't think so, Salvi.
He looked like he was going to cry, but he didn't. If he wasn't going to cry, I wasn't going to cry either. He put his cigarette out.
Your Aunt Evie and I are going to spend the rest of the day with your Mima.
Can I go?
You and I will go to Mass with her tomorrow. Then we'll cook for her. Does that work?
I knew what he was saying. They had things they wanted to talk about, and they didn't want to have me hanging around. I really, really hated to be left out. That works, I said. I knew my dad heard the disappointment in my voice. He put his hand on my shoulder.
I don't have a roadmap for this trip, Salvi. But I won't be leaving you behind. I promise.
My father. He knew how to keep a promise. Fito. Dad had gone to see Mima. Cancer. I pictured my dad and Mima and my Aunt Evie talking. About cancer. Them talk, me not included. Not happy. I didn't want to think about Mima. About losing her. And I kept seeing the look on Dad's face when he said, very bad. I sat on the front porch with Maggie and was about to text Sam. But I didn't know what to text. So I just sat there staring at my cell phone. I looked up from my phone and saw Fido coming down the street. He walked like a coyote looking for food. For reals. I mean, he was one skinny guy. I always wanted to give him something to eat. He waved at me. How's it going, Sal? Oh, just hanging out. He walked up my sidewalk, sat next to me on the steps, and slid his backpack off. I just got out of work. Where are you working? At the Circle K up the street. Yeah? You like it? Bunch of crazy people walking there 24/7. Every druggie in the neighborhood is waiting till it's 7 in the morning so they can buy some booze, so they can come down. The thing about hanging out with a guy like Fito was that he provided me with an education. Between him and Sam, I was all set. Well, at least it's not boring. Yeah, well, I could go for boring. Some guy was trying to get me to hook him up with free cigarettes. Like that was gonna happen. I gotta quit one of my jobs. How many jobs do you have? 2. Beats the hell out of staying home. But I gotta keep my grades up. I don't know how you manage that. See, it's like this, Sal. I don't have a dad like yours. Your dad, he figures your job is to go to school and get good grades and shit. Me? I haven't seen my dad since he said goodbye to me a few years back. I know he's trying to keep it all together. I mean, my mom did him some damage. I get that. Bottom line is that he's not around to support me. My mom's on public assistance, and I guess I'm just lucky she hasn't been arrested. They arrest her, I'm screwed. The last thing I need is a foster home. The good news is that I'll be 18 in another couple months, and I'm free and clear. Are you gonna move out? No, I've been saving money for college, and I don't want to use that money for rent. I'm only home long enough to sleep anyway. It's just a bed. I have to stick it out a little longer. Won't kill me. God, he looked tired. I was about to fix me a sandwich, I lied. You want one? Yeah, he said, starving. Starving was the right word. That boy wolfed that sandwich down in a nanosecond. Fito was an interesting guy. He was all street smart, and the thing was that he had this really clean-cut look. Short hair, dorky glasses, white shirt, khakis, and he liked to wear these thin black ties. Like my dad. You know, he had a look. Me? I didn't have a look. So, he said, how come you and Sam don't hook up? She's my best friend. Why can't she be more than a friend? She's hot. I gave him a look. What? She's like my sister. Guys don't want to hear other guys say things about their sister. Things like, she's hot. Sorry. No worries. And she's really smart, that Sam. Guess you're not her type anyway. I just shook my head. Let's not go there. I didn't like talking about Sam behind her back. It was easy enough to change the subject. You got a girl, Fito? No girls. I had this thing with Anja for a while. Until then, I hadn't known he was gay. I mean, he didn't act gay, whatever that meant. He's a nice guy. He's high maintenance,
Don't have time for that. Guys suck.
That made me laugh.
You ever been with a guy, Sal?
Nope. Not my thing.
I just thought that because your dad was gay...
I laughed again. Like it works that way. Fito started laughing at himself.
I'm like an asshole.
No, you're not, I said.
I like you, Fito.
I like you too, Sal. You're different.
I mean, you say things like, I like you, Fito. Most guys don't say shit like that.
Well, gay guys do, but they're not really saying they like you. They're saying they're interested in maybe getting you in the sack. Know what I'm saying?
I made him another sandwich. He wolfed down the second one, same as the first.
He kept petting Maggie and saying,
Man, wish I had a dog and lived all normal and shit.
And he just got to talking and talking. He talked about work and about his screwed up family and about school and about how he really liked Angel, but he was too young for any serious stuff anyway, and he didn't want to be spending his money on a guy who was maybe just using him.
The only thing I'm serious about is getting into college.
If my dad had been there, he would have called Fito a sweet guy. And lonely. That's what I really noticed. He was lonely. Finally, he looked at the time on his cell.
I gotta hit the downtown library. That's where I study. That be my home away from home.
After he left, I kept thinking that he deserved better. And I wondered how Fido got to be so decent when there wasn't anybody around teaching him how to be decent. I just didn't understand the human heart. Fito's heart should have been broken. But it wasn't. And even though there were times when he texted me and told me that life sucked, I knew he didn't believe it. It's just that life hurt him sometimes. I guess life hurt everybody. I didn't understand the logic of this thing we called living. Maybe I wasn't supposed to.
Sam and me. Sam came over again. She brought her backpack and we studied all afternoon. That was one of our things. Sam hadn't been much into studying when we were in grade school. But once we got into middle school, she got to be a really great student. Sam was extremely competitive. She liked to win. I mean, she was all about winning. She was always better at soccer than I was. Getting good grades was all about winning. A lot of girls didn't much like Sam. Not that Sam helped herself out on that count. F all those bitches. I hated that word. Have some self-respect, Sammy. The B word is the N word for girls. I hate that. What kind of a feminist are you, anyway?
Who said I was a feminist?
You did, when we were in 8th grade.
I didn't know shit in 8th grade.
Look, just don't use that word around me. It pisses me off. She stopped using that word around me. But sometimes she did say things like, she's such a bee. I'd shoot her a look. So I had this theory that Sam competed with me. And it wasn't just about grades. She wanted to prove to herself, and to me, that she was as smart as I was. And she was. Smarter, I'd say. A lot smarter. Sam didn't have to prove a damn thing. Not to me, anyway. But Sam was Sam. So we studied together. All the time. And it was because of her that I had A's. Well, 2 B's in my math and science classes. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't have known a sine from a cosine. Trigonometry, biology, statistics, anything having to do with numbers and science was really hard for a guy like me. But Sam? She was actually brilliant. Frickin' brilliant.
and she was pretty, too.
Really pretty. Well, more than pretty. She was beautiful.